When you slowly push the Word of God away, you're going to be hardened to the Word of God. Now, you may think you're religious and think you're still listening, but you're not. You're not hearing it, as we're going to see. When you choose to disobey and not believe God's Word, God allows Satan to blind your heart. He steals away the Word. We see that in the parables, all right? Don't let that happen. You don't want to get to this point.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, as we embark on today's teaching, give us an idea of what we'll be learning from the book of Ezekiel.
Well, Dave, after some much-needed review, we're going to begin to see that Ezekiel is once again assigned to these exiles. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, let's turn our Bibles together to Ezekiel chapter 12 to find out.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, we as human beings in our sinful state are really good at denial. We're good at reshaping reality, per se, in a sense, from our perspective, with the things we don't like. You hear it all the time. You see people on the news and they give their reasons why they did things. You go, wait a second, they're just clearly ignoring reality and clearly reshaping it to their own desires. We're good at that in our sinfulness. And also, we are tempted to buy into it when evil purveyors of wickedness bring that before us. We have in the so-called church those who will take what God says and change it or delay it or pervert it. And we'll buy into that because it works with our denial as those who don't know the Lord. Well, we do, but I'm talking about those who make claims so but don't know Him. Now, nothing is new under the sun. Back in Ezekiel's time, those who were hearing the message that God was bringing forth through Ezekiel were buying into the voices of denial. The voices that were saying things that contradicted the truth of God. And so today we're going to look at true signs versus evil sayings. Would you turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 12? And we're continuing our study of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is a book that is timed in the midst of Jerusalem's almost their third exile. Two exiles have gone by. And they're about to be sieged by Nebuchadnezzar for 18 months, in which at the end of that, the temple would be destroyed, the walls would be torn down, many would be killed, and the rest would be taken captive for 70-year captivity. We're right on the edge of that. And Ezekiel is written around this third and final siege, this 18 months. The first 24 chapters are oracles up to that siege. And then in 25 to 32 are oracles during that 18-month siege. And then in chapter 33, there are oracles or prophecies after that siege. And so with that in mind, we've seen in the beginning of this book the grand picture of the Lord coming from the north in the clouds, the cherubim and the wheels and the Lord on the expanse above on His throne, bringing forth judgment from the north. Really pointing to the judgment that would come upon His people for rejecting Him and His word. We saw Ezekiel being commissioned that he would speak God's word, and even that the Lord would make him mute so that he could only speak God's word. And we saw the signs that he did, or the sermons, sign sermons, and those things that he did. And within that, we saw the Lord making it clear that these people in Jerusalem and Judah were going to go into destruction. They were going to go into God's judgment. We saw very clearly the reason for God's wrath, that they had broken His heart with their idolatrous ways. And we saw the wickedness was even pervasive. It was so deep, it was in the temple. And we saw Ezekiel going in and looking and seeing, as the Lord brought him there, the wickedness of the elders and the leaders of Jerusalem, how they claimed to follow the Lord, but yet were doing blatant, wicked, immoral idolatry. Their hands were bloody. It was a violent, wicked group of people that would name the name of the Lord, idolatrous. And we saw what God would do in response. He would pour His wrath out upon them, but yet He was gracious. he was going to have that angel, the one with the writing case, the man with the writing case, mark the heads of those who groaned over the sins that were going on around them to spare them from his judgment. God was gracious. And yet we saw then in chapters 9 and 10, God's wrath from a heavenly viewpoint. Again, the undeviating execution of his will by his cherubim doing his will to his command in perfect harmony, bringing forth what he has declared. And we saw that judgment was imminent upon Jerusalem. And yet again, we saw a future hope in the midst of judgment, that there would be a remnant that is saved, foreshadowing what God would do with Israel in the future. A remnant that would be gathered into the land. Their sins would be forgiven. They would receive a new heart that they could obey. And God would be their God and they would be his people. That wonderful new covenant truth brought about through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But yet we saw within that that God's glory had departed from the temple. And then the awful truth that God's glory departs from Jerusalem, preparing the way for his wrath to come, his imminent wrath. And so at this point, we're going to see today that Ezekiel is to act out some true signs for these exiles. And we'll see next week that these purveyors of falsehoods will be judged. So let's take a look at true signs and evil sayings. And we're going to see that God will do what he says. Notice, first of all, we have the baggage sign, verse 1 of chapter 12. And I didn't tell you to turn there, but turn to Ezekiel chapter 12. Verse 1, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, you live in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes to see but do not see, ears to hear but do not hear, for they are a rebellious house. We see this chapter comes on the heels of his second vision, which was chapters 8 through 11. And remember, chapter 11 closed with the Spirit bringing him back and having him sit before or go before the exiles and tell them all the things that the Lord had shown them. And it's from there we have this statement, then the word of the Lord came to me saying. So again, we have God's word coming to Ezekiel. And remember, his tongue is bound, chapter 3. He's only going to be able to share what God speaks to him. Boy, we need that for all preachers, right? We all need that, right? And so what does the Lord tell him? Verse 2, Son of man, you live in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes to see but do not see, who have ears to hear but do not hear, for they are a rebellious house. So then the Lord reminds Ezekiel that he lives. Now he is in exile. He was taken exile. He's been there now for a year and a half, whatever it might be. He's been there. And he is an exile, or he's been ministering for a year and a half, and he's been an exile there near the river Shebar in Babylon, okay? And he is living in the midst of these other exiles there, okay? And you might remember, and here the Lord says they're rebellious. He says you live in the midst of a rebellious house, and the end of the verse, they're a rebellious house. You might remember back in chapters 2 and 3, when Ezekiel was being commissioned by the Lord, 9 times the Lord calls these, he's going to minister to, in exile, rebellious. You can turn back to chapter 2, verse 3. It wasn't the glorious ministry of saving the lost. It was a horrible calling, in a sense, to go to those who had hardened hearts and would not respond. That doesn't sound too glorious, but yet God wanted him to do it, because God's a gracious God. Ezekiel 2, verse 3. Then he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the sons of Israel, to a rebellious people who have rebelled against me. There you go. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The implication is that those who were taken out from the first deportation from Nebuchadnezzar, 605 BC, and then with those with Ezekiel taken out, that most of them were still rebellious. And they're now in Babylon. And I think the Lord is going to be using this book and others to work on their hearts so that there would be a remnant that would go back when this exile is done. But here he says they have rebelled against me. And how is it they rebelled? Chapter 2, verse 3, rebellious people. Chapter 2, verse 5, rebellious house. Chapter 2, verse 6, rebellious house. Chapter 2, verse 7, for they are rebellious. Chapter 2, verse 8, do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. They're rebellious. And then if you look at chapter 3, verse 7, we see what this rebellion encompasses. He's saying basically, hey, Ezekiel, I'm sending you to the people. You're the people of the Lord. They should listen. They should listen. You know, you preach a sermon to the church, they should listen, right? Everybody's coming, right? They should want to listen, right? But here he says, yet, verse 7 of chapter 3, the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you since they are not willing to listen to me. There's the key and core of rebellion, a rejection of the word of God and thus the God of the word. And he says, surely the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. And back in chapter 2, verse 3, in the end, he says, their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, they and their fathers. They're still sinning. The term transgressed, pasha, is the strongest word in Hebrew, and it's used to speak of covenant transgression. They have deliberately sinned against God and his word. They've not done what he has said. It speaks of a violation going beyond. And they're in persistent rebellion. And we see in chapter 2, verse 4, that they're hardened. I'm sending you to those who are stubborn and obstinate children. You ever see a stubborn, obstinate child in Walmart? Yes, you know, you see them just, no, mommy, no. You know, we told our kids, you never tell your mother no, ever. That was an instant spanking. You never do that. Okay? Well, stubborn and obstinate kids say no all the time. And they do what they want in their hard little hearts. That's the example here. And these Israelites were like that. They're saying, no, we're not going to do it. In a sense, like I'm a stubborn child, like stubborn, obstinate children, stiff-faced. And so with this, Ezekiel's being sent to speak God's word to a people who should be wanting to hear his word, but yet they're stubborn, obstinate, they're not going to listen. If you go to chapter 3 again, verse 4, we see really the core of their problem. And I mentioned this earlier. He says that they're not willing to listen, verse 7, since they're not willing to listen to me. That's really the core. You see, back in our passage now, let's take a look at it, chapter 12, verse 2. You have these people who don't want to hear God's word. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to listen. Son of man, you live in the midst of a rebellious house, verse 2. Who have eyes to see, but do not see, chapter 12, verse 2. And ears to hear, but do not hear. For they are a rebellious house. They've got eyes to see, but they do not see. They have ears to hear, but they do not hear. What's he talking about here? He's saying they got a spiritual problem. They got a spiritual problem. They should be able to see. They should be able to hear. They should be able to hear God's truth. They should be able to understand it. They should be able to see and perceive the truth of God. They should. But they don't, for they are a rebellious house. You see, when you choose to disobey God, God hardens, or he allows your heart to be hardened. And you are no longer able to hear because of your rebellion. Listen to what the Lord Jesus shares to his disciples after they query him about why he is speaking in parables and hiding his truth. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. This really gives us insight into this. You see, the Lord Jesus came to a people sitting in darkness in the shadow of death, and he enlightens every man. We see that in John 1. And he was there for a couple years. And eventually, they hardened their hearts. They were unwilling to listen. We'll see that here. And so the Lord turned away from sharing with them that seeing they would not, seeing hearing they would not hear. Look at chapter 13, verse 10 of Matthew. And the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? And in this case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. Now look at this. This is important. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear. And look at this. And they have closed their eyes. They did it. They chose to ignore the truth of God, and that caused them to get into this hardened, rebellious state. When you slowly push the Word of God away, you're going to be hardened to the Word of God. Now, you may think you're religious and think you're still listening, but you're not. You're not hearing it, as we're going to see. He says here, they've closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand their heart, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. You see, this people has become dull, Jesus says, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. You ever seen a child that doesn't want to hear what you're saying? You know, they close, I don't want to hear it, right? That's a silly illustration, but that's what they're doing. And let me take it one step further. When you choose to not listen to God's word, when you choose to set it aside, you're going to be in debt to it, but you choose to set it aside, God allows Satan to blind the minds of the unbelieving. 2 Corinthians 4:3, and even if our gospel is veiled, Paul is responding to the accusation, hey, not when you're getting saved. He says, well, even if it's veiled, he says, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. You know, when you choose to disobey and not believe God's word, God allows Satan to blind your heart. It steals away the word. We see that in the parable of the sower, right? Don't let that happen. So you don't want to get to this point. However, back in Ezekiel's day, these exiles he was speaking to, they were rebellious. Back to our passage, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, you live in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes to see, but do not see, who have ears to hear, but do not hear, for they are a rebellious house. They got a spiritual problem. Guess what? Ezekiel's been ministering to them for a while now, and they're not getting it. They're not getting it. 4, end of verse 2, they are a rebellious house. Yet God was always willing to forgive them. God is a gracious God, and he had not given up on his people. He's faithful to his covenant, and he would keep a remnant, by the way, and he would work on them, and we'll see that. And notice, we see here, therefore, he's to do something because they're rebellious. Therefore, verse 3, because they're a rebellious house and they're not hearing, Son of man, prepare for yourself baggage for exile and go into the exile by day in their sight, and even go into exile from your place to another place in their sight. Perhaps they will understand, for they are a rebellious house. He's been telling them for a while that judgment's coming. He's been telling them. Everything we've seen so far is what they've heard. If you've been in this church and you've been hearing these messages, you've been hearing judgment. Right? We've been hearing that with God's grace sprinkled in. Well, everything he's been sharing, they have been hearing, but they're not hearing it. So God says, do this. And he says, perhaps they will understand, though they're a rebellious house. God's a very gracious God, by the way. It's a very gracious God. Perhaps they understand. Maybe you're hardened today, but perhaps you might understand. Perhaps God might break through today, as we'll see. God was always willing to forgive them. He is unwilling that any should perish, but wants all to come to repentance. You see, some of you are actually on your way to hell, and God is gracious, and he still reaches out to you, even in your hardest of heart. In Hebrews chapter 3, the writer of Hebrews says, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And he talks about brethren. Because of those who did and didn't enter his rest, he says, take care, brethren, lest there should be any one of you with an evil, unbelieving heart and falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. When you disobey, you rebel against God, you get hardened. That's why you don't want to be around church, around believers. You get hardened. You get hardened by sin. So back in our passage, chapter 12, verse 4, we see after he's prepared baggage for exile by day in their sight. Notice we're going to see this in their sight 7 times. In their sight, in their sight, in their sight, in their sight, in their sight. Whose sight? The exiles. That's who it is. He says, verse 4, and bring your baggage out by day in their sight as baggage for exile. Then you will go out in evening in their sight as those going exiles. So, hey, you're preparing it during the day. What are you doing? Well, he's not going to say anything. Well, God tells him to, right? So he's preparing his baggage, getting it all ready. And then at night or evening time, because later on we're going to see the door dark and it's different than evening, okay? He's to take it out like he's heading out. Okay? And then notice something that's related but different. Verse 5. dig a hole through the wall in their sight and go through it. Wow. Okay. Dig a hole through the wall in their sight. Verse 5. Load the baggage on your shoulder and in their sight, carry it out in the dark. It's a different word. That's dark blackness, by the way. It's speaking of almost pitch blackness, okay? It's different than evening. Evening is, you know, we have morning and evening, right? We understand that. And he says, load and shoulder, carry it out in the dark. You shall cover your face so that you cannot see the land, for I have set you as a sign to the house of Israel. So in their sight, seven times, in verse 7, obviously this is a sign for them to see. And what's a sign? A sign points to something. You know, you see the sign on the road, falling rock. Yeah, that's not the rocks falling. That's a sign saying there's falling rocks ahead, right? Road closed. That's not the closed road. That's a sign pointing to the closed road, right? It's a sign. And he says, for I have set you, end of verse 6, as a sign to the house of Israel. And that's the house of Israel in exile, by the way. And so, notice Ezekiel obeys. This is a good guy. He's a good guy. You're going to meet him in heaven if you're a believer. And he'll be able to talk, I believe, too. And I did so as I had been commanded. Great statement. By day, I brought out my baggage, like the baggage of exile. Then in the evening, I dug a hole through the wall with my hands. I went out in the dark and carried the baggage on my shoulder in their sight. Okay. You know, we could learn from Ezekiel. He says, and I did so as I had been commanded. Did you know that God commands us? He commands a lot of things. Now, you can't do it apart from resting in Jesus. But when you rest in Jesus, his commandments are not burdensome. He enables you to do it. He gives you a heart to do it. And so we recognize it's in Christ. And so we can learn from Ezekiel's example. I did so as I've been commanded. Can you say that? And I did so as I've been commanded? Well, what are we commanded? Let's take a few examples. We're not to have anything against anyone, but we're to forgive. Can you say, I did so as commanded? Not elevating yourself. Ezekiel wasn't elevating himself. He just said, I did what God commanded me. We're not to lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, we're to acknowledge him. Can you say, I did so as commanded? Or are you leaning on your own understanding? Say no to that and do what God says. Right? Husbands are to love our wives, and we're to live with them in an understanding way. Love as Christ loved the church. Can you say, I've done so as I've been commanded? Wives, you're to love your husbands, respect them, have a gentle and quiet spirit, hoping in the Lord, not fearing, as you have commanded. We're to raise our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Can you say, I've done so, as you commanded? Children, you're to obey your parents in the Lord. Now, it's not perfect, but you know, we understand what I'm saying. Here's an example. Can you say, I've done so, as I've commanded, I've been commanded? We're to do our work heartily unto the Lord. Can you say, I've done so, as I've been commanded? We're not to fret because it only leads to evil doing. Can you say, I've done so?
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, what's our takeaway?
Well, Dave, our takeaway is simply this. We need to do what God says. And Ezekiel is a wonderful example of this. He just did what God commanded. Okay, well, we've just began to scratch the surface of this really intense passage, which we're going to see some pretty amazing things in. So make plans to join us tomorrow for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.